some point fairly soon, I'm going to have to go give Egon a kiss goodnight. So I'm going to have to bail for a couple minutes. But
can't you just be a deadbeat dad?
I could, but there's a lot of it. It's not the best.
You're not being best.
Be best.
I'm going to be best. Welcome to AE Double Back, the show whose motto is be best.
And we bought it cheap from someone who wasn't using it anymore.
Yeah. I feel like this could go far. I feel like it's got legs.
In the right hands, these legs are going to go a long way.
We're talking about AEW Dynamite for April 17th. It's the 20th what? Right now because, you know.
What did you say?
I don't know.
AEW Might, I think that's what you said.
I'm pretty sure all of the words were there.
I wasn't certainly listening.
In intent, I mean, they were there.
All the words might have been there in the same way that all the materials are there inside a smoothie after you blend it.
Okay. Yeah, that's the whole point of a smoothie, man. Look, podcasting is a word smoothie. We're basically like literary Jamba Juice, and I have no problem with that.
Do you guys remember Zuka Juice?
No, that sounds atrocious.
Look, Jamba Juice, I swear to God, used to be called Zuka Juice.
That is
that cannot be an Idaho specific.
It could have been because it was Idaho.
Why would you name it after basically vomit?
Zuka?
Zook. Have you never Puka. Used the term Zook?
Never like, in man, my I'm life. Zook. You were a total freakazoid. What are you talking about?
That must have been a Washington specific.
So to you, it was Zook Suit Riot? I don't know. That's just weird.
Oh, son of a bitch.
What?
Okay. I just looked up Zuka Juice, and the first hit says that Jamba founder Kirk Perrin once referred to the acquisition of Zuka Juice as a perfect marriage. So there was a Zuka Juice.
I fucking told you.
Jamba Juice bought them. It's not like they changed their name when they realized what a fucking horrible name it was.
I'm telling you.
Had to buy them to change him.
I knew it. I knew it. That's all I'm going to say is I knew it. Because like the thing about Zuka Juice and Jamba Juice was everything that Jamba Juice became, the graphics, the way they name stuff, da 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 da, was exactly Zuka Juice. And so that's what I was like, oh, they just changed their name because everything else is the fucking same. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting. Okay. This is interesting. Appalling.
Anyway,
you need to know right now that you can get a Prince Nana button up shirt from Shop AEW
to go with your Big Five shoes.
That's right.
Hold on a sec. I gotta go say goodnight. I'll be right back.
Okay. So now is the time when Calder and I host our own show.
It's our show time.
Showtime.
Boop 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 show time.
Me and Calder doing our thing.
Teresa Calder show.
Singing our songs. Doing our thing. You know you love it. Yeah.
Woo!
All right.
Time for our sponsor, Zuka Juice.
Yeah, we've got lots of sponsors that have all gone out of business.
What was the one we were talking about a while ago, the restaurant that you had gone to in Idaho? Mr. Steak,
which I bet still exists. Mr. Egg Roll still exists. I gotta hit up my Springfield peeps and find out.
Oh boy.
All right, I'm back. We can stop talking about fucking Mr. Steak.
Yeah, whatever.
There was a place that I guess I would say now was like a Chinese, you know, like a Yoshinoya, not Chinese. but it was called Choji's. It was like a Japanese bowl type restaurant. And one of my best school memories of all time was like at this point I had actually accrued like a group of friends because this was like a charter school
senior
year gifted program. It wasn't senior year yet. This was like in the middle of my college tenure. One day, and we had decided to start going to this restaurant pretty much every day for lunch at a certain point. And when I realized that they were selling shirts, I was like, it's hilarious that this relatively small, like Japanese restaurant is selling its own branded shirts. And I was like, that's hey, we cute. Should all buy one. And everyone did on my suggestion.
You are an influencer, Calder.
Do you still have that shirt?
No, God, no. Like, and what I kicked myself about
is the point of the story.
The location we went to closed down at a certain point.
Of course it did. They were selling shirts that no one wanted to buy except you weirdos.
Hey, no.
But they had a second location that was still open for a while. And I kept meaning to go all the way out there to get another shirt. And I never did.
To get another shirt.
But don't begrudge a small restaurant their ability to sell shit.
Look,
let them make some money somehow in different ways.
Have I made t-shirts for almost every one of my dumbass podcasts that no one ever bought?
You have not made one for
absolutely.
Us.
I have.
No, you have not.
I put it in Cafe Press or whatever. There's a link somewhere.
Okay, I get you. So it's in a draft somewhere. You've not made it. We don't have it. No one has seen it, can touch it, can order it. So therefore, you have to take all of that back.
Look, once
eat
I get
crow,
done,
my friend,
taking my kid to Godzilla X Kong, I'll pull him out, and everybody gets a shirt. You get a shirt, and you get a shirt. And
what's so funny is that someone asked you if they could make a shirt, and you were like alluding to, "Oh, well, sure, but I have one that I'm gonna make available," and then you never did. And I'm like, I wonder if that guy ever made his own shirt.
I hope he did. I hope he did, Doug Johnson.
So. Doug Johnson, we love you.
I feel like at some point I sent somebody a link. It may still be a draft. I don't even know. I know I did some of the work for this
to
happen.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
There was a percentage of the work that was completed.
If you need anyone to press any more buttons, I'd be more than happy. Yeah. All right, y'all. Let's get to
Your
it,
Your Honor.
You know what? I'm not even. I was when I went to go kiss my kid goodnight.
Goodbye.
I was going to cut all of that and put it at the end, but you know what? Just leave it in. You get to have your little show because I have no way to figure out
You've
how to
pick up for another season.
We were talking about Prince Nana shirts first, though, and I did look at them a couple days ago because I saw there's a Prince Nana shirt. And like they're shirts. It doesn't say Prince Nana or have any, you know, like sort of thing that would lead you to believe that it was related to the AEW character Prince Nana.
Character.
However,
you see him on it. He's dancing on it.
No, he's in it. Like the picture is him wearing the shirt. No. He's not on the shirt.
Excuse you. Zoom in, my friend.
I'm like, do I have to? Are you gonna make me zoom in on this picture?
Yes.
Oh,
I told you.
Okay, I got it. I'm looking at it. I see. You know what?
This is the second time you're eating crow tonight. You gotta just slow your roll.
I am crow.
You're gonna have so much crow.
It's not Chan's shitty obstinate mind that's to blame here. It's his shitty eyes.
Because it says Prince Nana in writing all the way down in stripes, and then he's dancing in the picture. Like he's got little images of himself dancing as well.
See, my thing doesn't even zoom. I can't zoom. Oh, wait, maybe I can.
You look on your phone.
Look. Here's the thing.
No, don't. Don't even. Let's move on.
What I was going to say was that even without that stuff on there, which now I've zoomed in very clearly is there, it is a style of shirt that I would wear. If it was just, absolutely. You know, like sort of like.
Oh, yeah, you'd wear those every day of the week.
Yeah, you would.
I would. Anyway, we can continue.
Okay, we did watch wrestling.
True.
Yes.
It was Dynamite.
It was
Mox is the IWGP champ. It's a big deal. And he does an in-ring promo top of the show, which is exciting because, you know, when somebody wins a big title, I think they should be allowed to have a moment in the ring to talk to people, which is an opportunity not always afforded to the ladies. I'll Indeed. Always bring this up. But anyways, he was talking about Will Hobbs, and I mean, bring it on. I want to see Mox versus Hobbs like tomorrow.
I mean, you'll have to wait for Wednesday.
I will. Anyway. I'll wait for Wednesday. And by the way, Sunday, tomorrow, Wrestle Dream, the pay-per-view.
Wait, what? No.
Dynasty.
Sorry. Dynasty. Whatever.
Teresa, like a sucker, bought a pay-per-view of an already existing pay-per-view from somebody that assured her it was the one tomorrow.
$5. I got it with the bootleg version of Smurfs.
The Smurfs. So wait, that's not great. Not great.
You're promising me that this DVD of Wrestle Dream is live?
Anyway, wrestling.
Big thumbs up. I loved this promo, and I really liked the start of the show there.
Yeah, I did like it. Again, it's one of those things where he's not saying anything particular, but he has just got such great delivery. Yeah. The one thing was that he was like, all of these great people who used to have the IWGP championship, and he's trying to list off to establish his greatness. You would assume so, all the people who are legends and have been doing this for 30 years and retired and gone into the Hall of Fame, but the people he lists off, Ospreay, Jay White, Okada, all people that are currently in AEW and are lower tier stars than he is. The construction of that was weird.
But
in the world of AEW, for a fan who doesn't know anything about them, has only seen what they have done in AEW, which is not an insignificant amount of people, it's kind of odd because he is the big star.
Yeah.
Kind of arguably, but that construction was weird. I get it. He's trying to put over people and more power to him. That didn't work for me. Everything else did.
I gotcha.
Fantastic.
I gotcha.
That doesn't work for me, brother.
Brother.
Pastamania. Calder.
I liked it. I think in this segment, as much as anywhere in the show, which Moxley was all over and doing great work on, he was excellent here for sure.
You know what? I just thought of something. I want an apron that says Pastamania on it so that when I make pasta, I can be like, yeah, brother.
Teresa, you're going to
spaghetti, brother.
You could do that without the apron, just so you know.
I know, but it would just be more fun.
I see.
Teresa, you're going to love finding out that there is an apron-based gimmick right in AEW.
Oh, no. You know what? If it isn't a Pastamania apron, it needs to go.
Oh, man.
If it's not,
it could become one.
Here's the thing.
Leno.
Nope. Other J. Wrestler J.
Jay Briscoe.
Other J. Other wrestling J.
Jay Sherman.
No. Hangs out with Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt, and I'm just circling the drain.
Jay Lethal.
Oh my God, why could I not remember Jay Lethal? Jay Lethal, that's first
a big problem for Jay Lethal.
he has been doing this for a billion years and is a fantastic wrestler, but he first, I feel got his first big pop by imitating Randy Savage.
Right. That's why his intro is the way it is.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that if Red Velvet really wants to step up her game, she should wear a Pastamania apron.
Yeah.
She should start going around saying, hey, brother.
I agree.
Doing the big leg drop.
Yeah.
I think she should somehow start sporting a blonde handlebar mustache.
100%. Yep.
Somehow. I mean, the drugs
exist. Spear gum.
She should absolutely do the Hulk Hogan like hulking out, like violent tearing vibrating. Tearing shirts off. Yeah. There would be a certain segment of the fan base that would really be endeared by like a female wrestler tearing shirts off.
Oh. I imagine so.
Okay, so the second segment of the night is Mercedes Moné. She's talking about to the camera about the person who attacked her, and she's like, I don't know if it was Willow or Julia. She's like, the lights went out, could have been Julia. Da, 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 da. I liked this. I liked it. I middled it though, because I wasn't super intrigued, because it's just basically saying what I've already said to myself about the segment. But it's like, you know, it's more story stuff going along. So we'll see what happens.
I don't care. I do not give a shit about this angle. I want her to wrestle. Yeah. And I want to see her, like, put her in the ring with literally anybody. I'm super excited. Do something like, the lights went off and I got hit. I don't care. It is not making me want to watch this more. Her being friggin' Mercedes Moné makes me want to watch it more. So when you jump in with, like, goofy-ass rhymes, like, the price you pay when you mess with Mercedes Moné. Well, whatever. Get to Monday. The wrestling.
Monday. Please, Monday.
I'm curious, though, if, like, she's cleared but not, like, super cleared. So they're trying to be really, like, gentle.
I don't think so. I think she just, Dynasty is the place where we get the big pop, and we're just going to build to that, and they just don't have anything to build.
Yeah, I guess so. Because they never do anything for women, and I'm sorry, but Jade was totally right. She got to do – Jade got to go on Family Feud because that's, you know – because they have a whole roster of women that could go on Family Feud. Anyways, whatever.
Well, I
miss Jade every day.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, still, like, praying to my picture of her at the bedside.
Did we all thumb this?
I didn't thumb it yet. I middle it.
Okay. Right. Edge Adam. Adam Copeland and Willow versus Brody King and Julia Hart. And then the lights go out and Brody King attacks Edge from behind and whatever. And Willow was backstage getting injured and they weren't going to let her come out and wrestle. And she was trying to fight it. But, you know, the match started without her.
Brody King. Also, for the record, like the first time I ever saw that gimmick, and it's a gimmick as
well. That was 100 years ago.
It wasn't the first time it had ever happened, but the first time I saw it was Mick Foley at Hell in a Cell. And I tell you what, I lost my GD mind. And it's been a case of diminishing returns ever since. But like when you get that sort of just like super pump up, like there is absolutely no way that person can, you know, make it back to the ring. Their partner is fucked or whatever. Like they hurt so bad, but you know, there's nothing. And then they do, when that works. Oh God, there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I feel like this one, I forget who it was, but like, there was one within AEW that I seem to recall being very effective. And I think that,
Was with Adam, the other Adam. Or with MJF or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It was one of the bro chacho things.
Yeah.
And that, like, whatever time it was, definitely really worked. And like this time I sort, you know, you start to learn to look for that. And I was more like being like, she'll show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Brody King was beating Adam Copeland's ass, but then Willow comes out late and let's see. Willow gets the what? It looks like I wrote barks. Oh yeah, the barks.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, she barked like Brody King. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I also noted that and lovely.
It was very nice.
But a chair hurt Willow and Julia pins. And so they're still beating up Adam and Willow, so the CEO comes out, She's got a chair. She chases them away. Yeah, I don't know. But I give this match a thumbs up. I enjoy Birdie King a lot. Of course, I enjoy Willow, and, you know, Adam Copeland's great. It's such a weird, yeah, like, pairing, but, like, I'm not mad about it.
Exactly. Yeah. I enjoyed this muchly.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Renee's talking to Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe is calling Swerve a punching bag. Because it's not that he's getting up like a champion. He's getting up like a punching bag or something.
Yeah.
Also, he said something about disinfecting the things that the belt that they touched, and saying something about, I know where Nana's been. I was like, this just really smacks of racism, and I don't like it, but okay.
I mean,
I know just, that's not how it's meant, but it's also just like, I don't know. We live in America, man. Everything is racist. It's just like, God. Anyway, but I gave it a thumbs up. It was a great promo.
Yeah. I mean, it's Samoa Joe. You know, I thumbed this up.
Yes. Calder? Yes. Yeah, I thumb it up as well. I wonder if... I don't know, for whatever reason, not like I was thinking about a new belt. I don't know why I was thinking about that, but.
Are your pants falling down?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Actually, I'm wearing my, like my favorite thing to wear around the house. And it's funny because I hated gym class. Like anyone hates gym class, I'm sure. Although we called it PE. I don't know when they stopped calling it gym.
Foundation got mad.
Now my favorite thing is to wear little gym shorts around the house.
Nice.
Nope, not nice.
Why?
Don't like having that image in my head now.
What?
Like shorts? Nothing at all. Like nothing at all.
All right, we got the Young Bucks. It started with an FTR segment, and they started talking over it, and they're like, nope, cut it. This I laughed so hard. They pulled... And they cut the FTR segment. Oh my God. I was like, I fucking love this. This angle is just getting better and better for me. This like shitty owner/producer angle. Oh my God.
And something I think we would all have to admit is that when we see Tony like in Gorilla, like working the monitors and whatever, like that's really his best performance work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I like Okada. You're a dead man. I lulled. Yeah. This goes right into the next segment, so I don't know, like, was this a separate segment or not?
I think so, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, really this segment gives a thumbs up.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it also led into some talk from the announce table, and like Taz sort of defending the Young Bucks. And like Siobhan, it was like, they're evil. And he was like, oh, they're definitely evil. Just like Taz going like, yes, they're monsters, but I mean, they're the bosses. So it's great. Everything's wonderful. Very fun.
This next segment is a great match. It's the Young Bucks and Okada, AKA The Elite, versus Daniel Garcia and Penta and Pac.
Yeah,
it's an interesting pairing.
This is, you know, obviously it would have been Rey Fénix otherwise, but Daniel Garcia, that was very fucking interesting. Obviously, Penta and Pac are incredible. The dick dance that Daniel Garcia does in the face of one of the Young Bucks on the turnbuckle. I was like, what is happening? I love this. It's so funny.
As they say, it hits different when it's in that context.
I loved the moment when like Matt picks up a mic and just while they're in the ring, he's just starts like taunting Garcia and stuff.
Yep.
So great.
Was he doing, I don't remember if it was during the break or not, but he was doing a play-by-play on the arena mic during the match?
I don't remember.
Okay, then you need to go back and watch the British feed because like during the match, it's like, oh my god, look, Okada's gonna do it. Like, oh, this is a look at ew, he's you know really gonna need that tag over the microphone to the crowd, and it's friggin' hilarious.
I mean, God forbid the live audience be able to hear commentary.
I know, right?
What are you gonna do?
Okay, so Okada pins Garcia, and I have to say this: Okada is so tall. How tall is he? He's so tall that his pile drivers don't look like these people even come close to the mat. That's how long his legs are.
Not funny.
Also, Pac. You know, when he got up to do his little like Black Arrow, you really get to see his legs, right? And these leg muscles, there was like a muscle between muscles that I've never seen before on any leg ever. No. And I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah.
Pac's body is evolving more muscles on the human body than currently exist. It's insane. And also fun because you're just like, you totally believe that this short dude can murder you.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not even just his physique.
No, it's his face. It's just his
fucking presence. And yeah. He walks in the room like, oh my God, he is personified. What is happening?
Staring? Oh God, no.
And listen, short kings out there, no one's saying you can't kill. Don't go, you know, getting a chip on your shoulder and trying to prove anyone wrong.
There have been plenty of short serial killers, I promise. Pac scares them away before something happens. Oh, before they smash Garcia inside a ladder. They were going to smash Garcia in a ladder sandwich thing. And Pac scared them away with a hammer.
A ladder certo.
Yeah. This got a thumbs up from me. I loved every second of this match.
Scary. It was great.
Jericho, Taz, Hook in the ring. Okay. Okay. Jericho's talking about the learning tree, and I was like, I don't know the reference of learning tree because all I can think of is the giving tree.
I realize now that I thought I understood like what was going on, and now I realize I was thinking of what you were thinking of.
The giving tree.
Yeah.
What's going on is this is a rib on CM Punk because he came in and was like, "Oh, like you all young kids need to listen to me, and I'll tell you what's what."
Yeah, right. I read that too, but the
phrase the learning tree.
The tree, yeah.
That phrase specifically.
I feel like Punk has used learning tree before.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then other people probably picked up on it. Go ahead.
I did not pick up on it until someone was talking about it afterwards. Like, that gives context to this, and that makes sense now what this thing was.
Okay. So Jericho was being a dick, and I was like, is Taz going to suplex him? But no, Jericho's just really disrespectful to him and then pushes him. And I said to myself, wait, Jericho's growing a beard? This is evil. Evil, evil people have beards. Yay. And then Hook, of course, is like, yeah, my ring. And he's all pissed off. He still needs to grow a little bit in that department, but he'll get there. So then Jericho backs away. So we're starting to see the return of heel Jericho, and I cannot fucking wait. It's honestly like, I want this to happen immediately because it's so fun, but I know that he's like probably never going to be face again. So he's really milking it. I don't know. He's like, I'm never making another turn like this for the rest of my career, so I'm really just going to take my time. I gave it a thumbs up.
In the context that I was led to believe was the case afterwards, I like it. In the moment, though, And also just like the amount of time that was given to it. Even if I understood that from the get-go, I'd be like, this is dragging on way too fucking long. I downed it.
Oh.
I mean, do I want Jericho as a heel? Yes. But I need him amped up heel. Part of the reason why I don't like face Jericho is because, like, hey, I'm the greatest. You guys want to, I'm just going to do my thing and I'm going to wrestle real hard and good luck, everybody. And it's just like low key and boring. And this was also low key and boring. And I get that, like, that's part of the joke, but also it's like 7-10 minutes of boring ass stuff. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Calder?
I upped it. I was finding like what he was delivering like more enjoyable this time around than I guess even similar stuff had been in some weeks past. And I don't know if that was just like him coming closer to the turn, making it feel more effective for me, but it did.
Yeah. We got Renee talking to Swerve, and Swerve's such a badass. He's like, I'm coming for Joe tonight. And I was like, all right, let's see it.
Yep.
I mean, there really was not much more that he was saying other than just some cool ass shit, but thumbs up.
Yeah.
I just always think about like why they decide which like interviews are going to be sit down, which ones are stand up, which ones are on the ramp, which ones are in the ring.
I mean, all I ask is
I guess the most serious. Sorry?
All I ask is they just mix them up. Give me all of them.
Yeah. I guess the most serious ones are sit downs, and then everything sort of like slots into place after that.
You know what I really want right now? Pierogies.
Ooh.
I was going to say a blizzard from Dairy Queen, but yeah, I could eat a pierogi.
All right. Mariah May versus Deanna Purrazza, the virtuosa. I'm still enjoying Mariah May as Toni Storm. This is fun.
Yeah.
I really like this match. I thought they did a great job. I thought it was fun. I thought it was exciting. Deanna pins, but then she gets attacked. So then Thunder Rosa runs out. She takes out Luther. She takes out Toni Storm. She takes out Mariah May. She helps Deanna. But then Deanna is pissed. And then they start pushing and fighting. And then fighting continues with Mariah May. Thunder Rosa is fighting Toni Storm. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then Thunder puts lipstick all over Tony's face. For the disrespect that she did to Thunder Rosa. So,
the punishment fit the crime.
And it did. It did. I gave all of this a thumbs up.
I do too. I like this interaction. I like all these people. This is a feud that I'm into. So, yay to all of this.
Yay.
Yeah, same.
We got Renee with the Bang Bang Gang.
Oh my god.
Jay White's asking the Acclaimed to put the belts on the line. And I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the three of them versus the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass. I mean, it's just so funny. I mean, can you imagine you've been like working your whole life to create this like career for yourself. You're a well-respected wrestler and you're like kind of a badass wrestler. And then you have to say, Daddy Ass, put your belt on the line. You know, like the fuck? It's just funny to me. It just doesn't get better than wrestling. I thumbs this up.
I did too. Jay White's just really hot on the mic these days. Shit. And just great chemistry with the other two. Mm-hmm. Someday Juice is going to come back and this whole place is just, the roof's going to blow off.
If he comes back this weekend, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Probably not this weekend. I think he's, actually, I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. Maybe. Not enough information to say.
Mm-hmm. What I like, then what happens is after the commercial break, it's the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass doing their promo. Right back at ya. And they're like, yep. All right. Sure. You got it.
There you go.
Belts. It's happening. It wasn't like, I mean, they didn't say anything super significant, but I still gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, they didn't tear down the house, but like they're in a nice, serious gear that the Bang Bang Gang have put them into. And I
yeah, and I also enjoyed the flow of the show this way.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
We're seeing a rearrangement of order. Like normally this would be put somewhere, some random place within the show, right? It with the freshness of the last promo in mind, in between commercials. This is great, right? So, caller?
Very effective when put right next to each other, oddly mm-hmm. enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Right? It's a thumbs up for me.
Okay, so we got Orange Cassidy versus Shane Taylor. I was like, damn, dude. Shane Taylor looks so good here.
Yeah.
Like, and he's yet another in the conveyor belt of people who like react really well to the disrespect of Orange Cassidy doing his antics.
Oh yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I mean, I really love this match. I thought it was well done, and I'm loving being able to see more of Shane Taylor and yep. get to know him as a character and as a wrestler, not part of any. Group or whatever, but
I mean, he's literally his group is Shane Taylor.
But that's my point. This is my point, right? Like this is his group now, and yes. whatever. But like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of times, these guys get tucked into other things, and they get overshadowed, or
yeah.
So, anyways, all right. So then, what ends up happening is, let's see. Okay, so the Shane Taylor production starts attacking Orange Cassidy. And Matt Sydal was going to help. Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal were going to help. Trent stops them, hits them with chairs, stops them. And the crowd is chowding. Did you hear that? I said chowding.
Yeah, they had chowder.
Say it right.
And they're spitting powder like a spit take.
They were shouting, fuck you, Trent, which they should.
Yep.
Because he's being an asshole.
Yep.
And
he's not listening to his mama.
No, mm-hmm. All of this is going well. I loved the match, and I like this aftermath. It's a thumbs up.
Yeah. I think it's a great way to showcase Shane Taylor and also mm-hmm. advance this just enjoyable story about the breakup of the best friends. Mm-hmm. Just like all a great balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some of the like things that were like kind of in my mind is that like there are definitely like faults that somebody could find with Ring of Honor kind of becoming like one with AEW and losing like some of what it had as a totally independent operation. But definitely like there are benefits in some of the like the really amazing people that were over there, like reaching like a wider audience, like Shane Taylor and some others. So that's really cool. And I think it's also just really cool that AEW is allowed to not like mute the shit out of their broadcast because of what the crowd does. Like sometimes that happens like crazy in WWE, and you know, I'm sure there are reasons and all of that, but frankly I prefer it with the obscenity in.
Look, you know my stance on things. I want swearing all the time in everything, always.
Gosh darn it, Teresa, why you gotta make everything filthy and vulgar?
I just feel it's more honest.
Mm-hmm.
I like honest direct communication.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel what you're feeling.
Fudge mouth. You're a fudge mouth.
that might be a term already.
Are you trying to say fuck mouth? That's weird. That's weird, dude. All right, so we got Roderick Strong, Kyle O'Reilly promo. I thought this was really awesome. It was heavy on Roderick, which it should because he's like excellent.
Yep.
And I just fucking loved this. it was mostly just talking and like posing. I loved it. It was just like a, you know, a kind of a edited video package of all this. And I don't know. I loved it. I give it a thumbs up.
The silver lining of Cole being injured is that it gives a little breathing room for these guys because they are all really good, but they happen to be associated with someone who like has even more star power. And you're just like, well, fuck, man. Like they don't have enough room to like show off their goods.
That's true.
So like, yeah, I think it's perfect. And I hope they sort of stay in this groove for a while when eventually Cole and MJF do come back, like split them off, let them go do their own thing. Hopefully they've built up enough cachet that, you know, people just accept them and not just be like waiting for them as underlings.
Yeah. All right. Then we have Will Ospreay versus Claudio Castagnoli. All right. What the fuck? Don Callis is on desk. This, like, you don't know you want this until you're watching it and you're like, oh, I needed this in my life. Claudio, I don't know. I miss a lot of what the announcer says. I just don't always pay attention. And
busy thinking about commercial pizzas.
Yes, exactly. like right now, I'm thinking about pizza, but because I think I smell pizza somewhere. My windows are open. Oh my god!
Like you have no idea what it's like walking around the neighborhood I've been in for the last year, where there are like sidewalk restaurants on every block. So all you smell.
That's like my neighborhood.
Oh yeah. Well yeah I remember how it is over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you both like, lived a block from each other.
Yeah, also amazing there. Just a different dominant cuisines. Either way, like it's impossible to not eat all the time when you smell that stuff.
Like you want to eat it all. One of the things
about living in Los Angeles, like you can't go anywhere else. It's real hard, even when they're like, dude, you could be paying like a quarter of the rent you are currently paying for your dinky ass apartment or whatever in bumfuck Illinois. But like to
much
think
love
that
to
I would
in bumfuck though.
Yeah, well, disrespect
I will,
bumfuck.
And I can't, I'm not gonna but like to not have that where, you know, I just walk out my door and there's like a dozen amazing places.
Literally.
Like, you know, and you just boop, just right there. It's,
I know, it's a crime, and yet not. That's why I just love living in a city with like 10 million people minimum.
Yeah, like I was just online, like seeing somebody write like about the nature of life in a town of 480 people, and they were talking about like not even talking about restaurants. There are like there were like four places total you could go to that included a gas station. And then like three or four other places that were any kind of place at all. And you're just thinking, like, I can appreciate that there are benefits to places like that, but like I don't want to trade what I have for them.
Yeah. All right. So I don't always listen to what the announce desk is saying. This was where we took a detour. So I'm taking us back to that point in the conversation about wrestling, because I have to say I heard them say, call out one of Claudio's moves as the Ricola bomb.
Yes.
And it's like, oh my God, of course, because he's Swiss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's been the name of the move for like since possibly WWE, but maybe before.
I just haven't heard it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying. I just never listened to them say. I don't even know if they call it out very often or something, but I just don't remember them saying it before. So I was like, oh my God.
Well, they probably don't say it very often because the people at Ricola don't want to pay up.
That's true. And also because the crowd can't help saying Ricola. Okay. And then I wrote, God damn it. Because not only are the moves incredible, But both of these motherfuckers, the way they sell, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Like, they'll hit, one of them will smack one of them, and then the smack will make them flip out of the ring.
Oh, my God.
Backflip out of the ring. I mean, they both are doing this kind of shit, and it's just like, oh, my God. I love this.
The ability that so many of these wrestlers have to just make like, you know, a week's worth of meals out of their reaction to a blow.
And this is the thing, right? When I complain about someone not selling very well, like I don't think Anna Jay sells very well. I don't think there's just certain wrestlers that I get annoyed with because I'm like, that's supposed to make you go like, I don't know. Like, I see these guys, they barely take a tap and they're like Harukans, like flying against a wall practically. But they do it themselves, obviously. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Anyways, and then these fucking pins were driving me nuts. These so many near falls. Finally, Will pins. Yep. But then there was an attack it was both the Don Callis family and the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yep.
So that was cool. I'm into that too. I would like to see that as like a mashup at some point.
This is all delightful stuff.
I like how much of wrestling is like, ha ha ha, JK, 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 unless, you know, like they're always floating things and then being like, well, that was nothing unless you want it.
Yeah. This is incredible. Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Two of the best wrestling today. And
holy shit. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We're so spoiled.
It's a marvel that so many people are so hostile to the existence of AEW for, and you know, like take it or leave it certainly. But like when people are able to move back and forth and find their place, like Claudio is here doing amazing, amazing stuff. Jade goes over the other way, or Cody goes the other way, or whichever. Mm-hmm. You know, if people are finding like the place where they can do the thing they most want to do and people most want to see them do, who could be upset about that?
Yeah, of course. Yep. Bloom where you're planted, man. And if you're not blooming, then I don't know, jump gardens and then we can all enjoy your beautiful flowers.
Jump Gardens does sound like some kind of an agricultural community's slam.
Jump Gardens was right next to 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
It was the apartment building.
Yeah.
It was the apartment building on 21 Jump Street.
I thought Jump Gardens was on one of the Monopoly themed boards that I had.
All right, Swerve, he's in the ring. He's cutting a promo. He's talking about Samoa Joe. And he's like, get your sweet tooth ass out here. And then Joe starts to come out. He's like, yeah, get your big ass out here, your BBL Joey. And I was like, oh, my God, this is hilarious. Swerve, you know, the security's trying to stop Samoa Joe from coming out. So there's like a bunch of security. Then at the base of the ring, and Swerve jumps/stomps on security. It was great. They start scrapping. Joe was going to attack Nana, but Swerve gets him. I mean, all of this was just great. And it leads us up closer to pay-per-view day. So, you know.
Yeah. I was a little worried because you have this amazing goddamn match and now you're going to tell me that you're going to put something else on after that that's just talking. I know how great Swerve and Joe are on the mic, but even still, I'm like, I got hella pumped, and this is probably going to take me down a notch if it just ends with them just being like, you suck. No, you suck. No, you suck. So that they did end it with a physical confrontation with Swerve doing the crazy ass stomp and all that. Like, okay. they brought me back in because the intensity of the confrontation was enjoyable. And like, yes,
and it was funny the way Swerve was talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, you got me.
And Sweet Tooth is the character that that Samoa Joe played in the adaptation of Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this real?
Yeah, that's a real thing. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's funny. I thought he just said Sweet Tooth because he was a big dude.
No. Look. One of the many reasons why I love Swerve is that he won't just go for a cheap fat joke. Right. He will build in layers, and you got to appreciate BBL, that kind of craftsmanship.
Which I was like, that's pretty great.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this whole episode was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I knew it would cause me to start confusing things, but I did it anyway. I watched not Rampage yet, but I watched all of Collision, and Collision is also very strong.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I should hope so. It's almost pay-per-view day.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed it is.
Which is a holiday.
Yep.
So nobody go to work tomorrow.
General strike.
Some of you go to work because I'm probably going to need pizza delivered.
Ooh. Well,
essential workers only.
Pizza workers only. Do I get a free pizza if I still have my book it pin? I think you should get one because
you read a book?
Still have it. I mean, yeah, I've started many books. I have so many by my bedstand right now.
Oh my god! Did you see the picture I took of all the books that are above my bed right now?
I think so. Yeah. That was a while ago, though. God.
Yeah. Well, it was just the other day, so you must not have seen it.
Oh, no. I guess you... Oh, yeah. No. Okay, now I remember. Sorry. Sometimes I hold off on reading things because I'm worried I'm going to get a spoiler on the show.
Oh, yeah. That happens.
But so it could have been during one of those moments. I don't remember now.
No. It's a 94% show. Go watch it. Go watch the pay-per-view. Love Perfect. You. Good night.
Bye, everybody. Ramona girl. Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom. Ding, 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 ding.